If, like a lot of Americans, you were busy last Friday, maybe shopping, you may have missed the government's new report on climate change. The National Climate Assessment, a major scientific effort by 13 federal agencies, predicts dire consequences for the environment and the economy if climate change isn't dealt with soon. The report predicts that if emissions continue to grow, the economy will lose hundreds of billions of dollars, a loss the report notes is greater than the GDP of many states. Some of the sectors of the economy most affected will be agriculture and the fishing industry, but the report also notes the impact on tourism. The climate assessment contradicts the climate change policies of the Trump administration, which critics believe released the report purposely on a day when most of us were more focused on the holiday. But one other consequence of the report is it's adding to a growing mental health problem, climate anxiety. Ali Budner from member station KRCC in Colorado Springs explains.
I recently spent some time talking to people in towns and on school campuses around Colorado, and I asked them this question.
What are your feelings about climate change?
And I heard this.
I would say dread and grief are good words to describe that.
I can't remember a time where I wasn't, like, thinking about it. It's always, like, in the back of my mind.
I know the ice is melting and then, like, the sea level is rising. That sounds kind of scary and very worrying.
Yeah, it's bad.
The National Climate Assessment is the latest bit of bad news for the planet, and it comes on the heels of the United Nations' most recent and equally depressing report on climate change.
A stark warning from the United Nations Panel on Climate.
This wasn't scientists rising up.
Climate change can reach crisis levels.
It would increase heat waves, flooding, drought, and the loss of species.
It's enough to make anyone anxious, and groups like the American Psychological Association and the American Psychiatric Association are paying attention. They're publishing reports on how the fear of climate change can harm mental health. Sabrina Helm wanted to find out who among us is the most vulnerable. She's a researcher at the University of Arizona. She did a survey of several hundred people and found that
people who have a concern about nature and the environment in general, plants and animals, those are the ones who also report highest ecological stress, unfortunately also depression.
Helm believes people in the deserts of the West are especially sensitive.
You are very aware about, you know, how fragile the natural environment is.
For Helm, who moved from Germany to the Desert West some years ago, all of this hits home.
It seems very dire to me. You know, if you read so much the research, which paints not such a nice picture of future developments, it affects researchers as well.
In fact, based on Helm's research, people who study the environment may actually be among the most affected by climate anxiety. People like Michael Lucid. He's a conservation biologist in northern Idaho. A few years ago, he and his wife discovered a new species of slug.
It was really exciting to find a new species.
Only to discover it was vulnerable to climate change. He says it was disorienting to add a creature to the known world and simultaneously fear for its future. But he says climate change is part of his everyday reality as a biologist, as a parent, and as a mountain dweller.
The last 2 summers in August has just been horrific smoke, and that has really gotten people talking about climate change, I think.
He says it makes him sad, but
it also really motivates me to work and find solutions for wildlife.
This positive attitude fits with Sabrina Helm's research. Her study found that people who are the most stressed or depressed about global warming also tend to be the most proactive about finding solutions. Laura Schmidt is a perfect example. She's a recent environmental humanities graduate from the University of Utah.
My knowledge throughout grad school greatly increased, as well as my anxiety. And then I realized that you have to do something, right?
So she started convening support groups in Salt Lake City for people to talk about their climate anxieties. The group became what she now calls the Good Grief Network. She says climate anxiety is something mainstream psychotherapy just hasn't addressed head on yet.
You know, seeing the world around us come crashing down or be changed in ways we can't even imagine is definitely going to have a psychological toll on us.
So she's growing the Good Grief Network beyond Utah and even beyond the U.S. into Canada and Europe. While developing the program, Schmidt interviewed scientists, activists, and writers about how they cope during hard times.
Almost everybody said that, you know, they had some sort of spiritual practice. You know, some people were like, I go for a walk in the forest.
Or for some folks, it could be a church. Tom Trinidad is the pastor at Faith Presbyterian Church in Colorado Springs.
Some folks come to the church and they just want to be able to unburden their concerns and their hearts. And that's all we can do sometimes. But if you only say, just trust God and there's nothing you can do about it, then that also robs them of the dignity of their human responsibility. And so we try to do a little bit of both.
He says even Pope Francis wrote a lengthy treatise on actively dealing with climate change.
So I would say that all of us need to be talking about this.
For Laura Schmidt, it's as simple as this.
You can see this as a great opportunity for connection and for meaning and for community building, or you can sort of shut down and look the other way.
For Here and Now, I'm Allie Budner.